Well, I want to welcome everyone today. This is a very, really a great time of fellowship between myself and Brother Walt Stickle, who I've known for going on 6 years now. And we've come to the point where we need to have a discussion about the influence of the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church in the founding of our country. And so we're going to be discussing a booklet that was sent to me by Walt about 3 years ago, entitled "The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy." Now that was written by Dr. Ron Cook, but there's many authors in this little booklet that Walt's put together, you know, and we're going to be discussing it today. And I'm so glad that Walt has agreed to do this broadcast, because there's so many gaps. You know, I've been given wrong history all of my life. And, you know, the question that we're going to ask today is, what was the influence of the founding, the Roman Catholic Church on the founders of this country? You know, and, you know, a lot of people hold the presupposition that when the United States declared independence from England, that we were put back under the rule of God. But in contrast, we're going to talk about that, because we were put actually under the rule of satanic influence of the Roman Catholic Church. And we can talk about, you know, the Constitution and the fact that it is a universal, it's actually a Roman Catholic document. But I want to introduce my very good friend. We've been through a lot together, and God has sustained our relationship over the years, Brother Walt Stickle. And I'm just going to turn it over to him and have him kind of just kind of talk a little bit about even why we even started thinking about doing this broadcast. Brother Walt, go ahead.
Okay. Well, thanks, Larry. I've questioned this. This is something that causes, I mean, this big lie of the lie and the true history of the founding of this country is so buried that when you bring this up, it causes a lot of trouble with people, because they've had the wrong conception of the American Revolution. And why I think it's relevant today is because what is happening with this pandemic. Where is the power coming from this pandemic? Not only in the United States, but Canada. I followed it on the YouTube, and followed some couples that sail around the world. And it's in England, it's all over the world, this pandemic. And people are wearing a mask all over the world. So, because I question, why should we be talking about something that happened in 1776? So, you know, to where, I don't know, I'm not just too sure where we want to take off. But Larry already made the comment that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence is a Catholic document. It's a universal document. I remember the first time I heard this, I'm telling you, the hair stood on the back of my neck, because I had all this false information about this country and the founding fathers. The Bible tells us to call no man our father. And you see, there's three. What was Rome's influence on the American Revolution? There was two brothers and a cousin, Daniel Carroll and John Carroll. Were brothers, and Charles Carroll was a cousin. Charles Carroll was the richest man in the colony. Matter of fact, he supplied the ammunition for the American Revolution. And see, the thing of it is, I've been chastised by talking about the carols too much. And you know, I'm going to bring up some names here, but before I bring the names up, this is not a name-calling thing. Waltz made mistakes. Everyone has been misinformed about what we're getting ready to talk about. But I got kind of introduced to this. I got introduced to this by Tom Fress of First Amendment Radio. And he called the Constitution, or our government, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, he called it a Protestant constitutional republic. Now to go into a lengthy discussion, every man has his right to his opinion. The same as Eric Phelps. Everybody, a lot of people have heard about Eric Phelps. I mean, he's supposed to be a Jesuit expert. He wrote a book, PDF file is 896 pages with over 700 illustrations in it. And the carols are not in the book. John, Daniel, and Charles are not in his book. And he was instrumental in always, and he made a statement, he's made the statement like that George Washington was a Calvinist Baptist. Well, and you say, well, what is the answer? Is that true, Walt? Well, it's simply not true. If somebody just comes out and just makes something up, you know, it's a freebie. And also, I want to mention Chris Pinto. One of the best documentaries on this is The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers, Chris Pinto. You know, and Chris Pinto has wrote a preface to the book. He had it republished. It was a book written in Washington in the Lap of Ronin, 1888, by Justin Fulton. The only thing he did is he wrote a preface to the start of this book. You know, and I think it's important right now. This was part of it, one of his articles, and I put it on the back of this cover because. What do you think, too, Larry? Do you think it's time that we want to explain this little pamphlet that I put together, the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy? You know.
Yes.
It's very important. How did I come about putting this together? Just to listen. Larry is a son of a plumber. Walt is just a country bunkin'. Okay. I haven't been to a seminary or a Bible college or to a university. My main access was the internet that got me started, but I drove truck for 10 years back and forth across the United States. And I think it's really important all of a sudden I was going through to Des Moines, Iowa. And I was going around the route that, you know, you had all these cities have a circular around the city. Well, this one goes right through Des Moines. And I looked off to the right on one part of that freeway, and I could see the capital of Des Moines, Iowa. You know, our Capitol building, and the Vatican, that architect is, that's a basilica. 46 out of the 50 states in this United States have a basilica. Now, the Vatican has, I believe the last time I looked at it, they had 75. The biggest one is in some place in Africa. Forgive me for not being able, but it's the biggest basilica that the Roman Catholics have built. How big is it? It's three times bigger than the basilica there at the Vatican. It is just huge. But the reason I'm saying this is I came through here and I'm out in the truck bouncing down a freeway, and it came to me. I looked at, this is Roman architect. See, and when we talk about religion and Catholicism, it's the Roman Catholic Church. We're not talking about the Lutherans. See, it's not the Roman Lutheran Church, you know. I mean, and they don't even consider themselves the German Lutheran Church. Presbyterian. There's not a country in front of it. Because Rome is a nation. It's a nation. You know, sometimes I get kind of overwhelmed even start talking about this because of the, if we just look at the evidence, if we just talk about what we know is the truth, you know, in the book, the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, now you can get this book in a PDF form off my website, The Grand Design Exposed. I put four books together in book form, and the PDF files are up there. And one of them is, the first one I did was The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, you know. And then I did another one. It was The Papacy is the Antichrist, a demonstration by J.A. Wiley, who is kind of known as a historian of the Protestantism. And then I put a little pamphlet together, Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Roman Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, authored by Thomas M. Harris, who was a general in the Civil War. But there's one on Mystery Babylon. But if you go to the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, and this little broadcast that we're doing today is an introduction to what we're going to cover on a series of broadcasts, you know, and what caused me to put this book together? How did this book go together? It even amazes me. I mean, because I didn't write this book. I wrote an introduction to it and a few conclusions, but this is solely the material of authors, of a collection of authors. And one of them is Tupper Saucy, who wrote Rulers of Evil. I also have a chapter in here on the Royal Declaration. I got a chapter in here on the Catholic Founding Fathers, the Catholic Family. And you know, there's a lot to cover, and I'm trying to be. The first two chapters of Rulers of Evil are in this pamphlet. Some of the list of the authors quickly is Tupper Saucy, Michael DeSemblin. He has a chapter in here on the Jesuits, P.D. Stewart. The Michael DeSemblin, it's called Jesuits Today. And then we have P.D. Stewart, who wrote the book Code Word Babylon. I have chapter 31 in there, how America became a Jesuit enclave. And then I have about the Carrolls, author John Daniel. I was a very personal, kind of a real good friend of John, and helped him put up several different pages on the internet with him coaching me. And then I have the preference of the Washington in the Lap of Rome, you know, and understand it's Chris Pinto, and I mentioned it earlier, and I just want to say it again. Chris Pinto, the thing that Larry and I are talking about, you know, they want is refuted by most men any man that's been to a seminar or a Bible college is going to oppose this position. Hard, real hard. Or with Catholic background. People, you know, and so you see Chris Pinto has been attacked real, went up against real strongly because of his documentary, The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. Now, for anybody that's really is still with us and hasn't hung up, because we're talking about a sacred cow here. We're talking about the Founding Fathers, and they've become sacred cows. And the three of the founders are not known, and this might be the first time you've heard of the Carroll brothers. And it's been done on purpose. They've been written out of history because they were very, very prominent and were behind the American Revolution. You know, Larry, am I saying too much here?
No, not at all. I think that the key is to, to emphasize the involvement of the Roman Catholics in the American War of Independence, because I'm just going to read out of this book on page 100. At the bottom there, it says, "Let there be no mistake. The American War of Independence was a double victory for Catholicism. Firstly, over Britain having used the light cavalry of the Pope, the Jesuits, and the Freemasons to encourage the Crown to pass those intolerable acts, and secondly, over the psyche of the American people. Thus did the Papists and the Jesuits play their role in the American War of Independence." And, so a lot of people don't realize the involvement of the Roman Catholics in this War of Independence. Another fact worth noting is that Washington's Continental Congress declared its independence from Britain in 1776, and at that time a military alliance was formed with Catholic France against England. And next, Catholic Spain joined. Why would France and Spain get involved in such a distant war? To ensure the success of the Catholic cause. If you all still doubt that Rome had a hand in and benefited from the fomenting of the American Revolution, then just listen to this by John Carroll. In a meeting he had with the Catholic clergy in Rome in 1790, he says, this is John Carroll. "In 1776, American independence was declared, and a revolution effected not only in political affairs, but also in those relating to religion. For while the 13 provinces of North America rejected the yoke of England, before this great event, the Catholic faith had penetrated Maryland and Pennsylvania, and all the other laws against Catholics were enforced. But by the Declaration of Independence, every difficulty was removed. Every political disqualification was done away with." Did you hear what he said there?
Yes.
He said, as a result of the Declaration of Independence for the Catholics, every difficulty was removed. And so when Walt asks you the question, who benefited from the American 1776 and the independence, the Declaration of Independence? Who benefited from that? And that's really what we want to really just start tonight, showing of how they benefited. Go ahead, Walt.
Well, I think it's real important. I know I didn't know. I was 50 some years old when I heard it the first time. What I'm about to say now is historical fact. You can get this from Catholic source, so you can't say that I'm being one-sided. But prior to 1776, less than 1% of the population were Catholic.
Absolutely.
Let me say that again, real slow, and less than 1%. 99% were dissenters, were protesters. They understand why they were always losing their religious freedom. Was, you know, and so to just be able to, in other words, most people that we're talking are, you might be the first time you heard this, but you can't say it enough. And before 1776, the Catholics couldn't hold any civil power in the colonies, including Maryland. Even in their charter, they had Protestant civil power. But because of the American Revolution, they had zero rights before. And after the Revolution, they had them all. Now they were on even, in other words, the American Revolution allowed a Trojan horse into our country. And that is the Roman Catholic Church. And the American Revolution was counter-Reformation. People say, well, what is counter-Reformation? The Jesuits were formed in either, 1590, and they had the Council of Trent. They were formed as an army to counter the Reformation, in other words, there's two parts of Protestantism. One is spiritual, and one is civil. The Protestant governments, I mean, at Poland at one time was a Protestant nation. It went all over Europe, and now it got as far as Bavaria. In southern Germany, it didn't, and it never the Reformation never got into Spain. And so, you know, the thing what we're trying to establish here is what was the reason, what was the motive against the American Revolution? Who benefited from the American Revolution? Well, we can just fast forward now to 2020. There's 24 colleges, and there's 28 Jesuit universities. And our justice system that interprets the Constitution of the United States, and we were labeled a Judeo-Christian country, and it's very important right now to understand that Roman Catholicism is not Christianity, never hasn't even been close to Christianity. But because of the Roman secularism, they have put the people to sleep in this country. Because not in other words, because this pandemic right now, I mean, this relates. This is one of the reasons where we're talking about the founding. Where did this pandemic come from? It came from 1776. Anthony Fauci. He was raised in Manhattan. He went to a Jesuit. There's 50 Jesuit high schools, and one of the most the prestigious one of them is the one that he went to in Manhattan. He's Jesuit educated. He's a Roman Catholic. His wife is a graduate of Georgetown University, and by the way, you know too. It's real important to understand who these Carrolls were. What, you know, Charles Carroll was the wealthiest, and he was a neighbor to George Washington. But John Carroll, all three of them went across. They went to Europe, to Belgium, I can't give you the name of the university they won. It's still there today. But they were all Jesuit trained. They went to a Jesuit. They were Jesuit educated. And so three of the founding fathers, John Carroll, and he was the first bishop of Georgetown University, which was founded in 1789, the same year that we became officially a nation. Georgetown University is right up the street from the Capitol. Daniel Carroll gave the property where the Capitol building is built. You know. And Charles Carroll.
Yeah, I think also it's important to note that it was very well known fact. I mean, even John Adams recognized the fact that Thomas Jefferson was an avid papal admirer. I mean, you know, and of course, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson jointly wrote, you know, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. They were the primary authors of it. And so, you know, I mean, John Adams in a discussion, you know, one time with Thomas Jefferson asked the question, can a free government possibly exist with the Roman Catholic religion? And that brings up the other point that I would like to make right at this point, because I think it's relevant, and that is that you hear so much about the people that are coming against the Zionist, whether it be, you know, Ed Henry or Tex Mars or some of the other people that are avid coming against the Zionists. John Hagee is a Zionist, but I'm talking about the people that are coming against the Zionists.
Right.
They say it's not right because they are involved in dual citizenship. Well, what about, listen, I just want to read this.
Very good point.
One little, he says right here that, you know, that the Roman Catholic Church government is considered to be the premier government, and all people who are members of her must answer to her first and foremost ahead of any other government structure. And so we have dual citizenship. Every Catholic, and there's, you know, by the last counts, I'd have to check the current counts, but it's the largest considered, I don't consider it a denomination, but in the United States, above all other denominations, all of those people who are members of her, they take their allegiance by their membership first and foremost in Rome over and above the United States. Okay, and so they are actually dual citizens, because, you know, it's important to understand that the Vatican is a separate nation. It's a separate entity. It has ambassadors. Ronald Reagan is the first one that appointed an ambassador to Rome. Rome has ambassadors that are sent to the United States. The Vatican is independent and sovereign nation. It has its own currency. It has its own Secretary of State, ambassadors. Once a person is baptized in the Catholic Church, he becomes a member of that church. And when he is confirmed, he becomes a citizen of the church and is able to assume the responsibility of that citizenship and defend his faith against his enemies, including the United States, if it comes against Rome. The citizens of the Roman church must have strength and fortitude to enable them in the spiritual contest to fight manfully and resist any foe. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay.
Well, and what Larry just said, in Chapter 2 of Rulers of Evil is called Missionary Adaptation. And let me just read the first paragraph. Few people, this is just what Larry just give us. Few people seem to be aware that the Roman Catholic Church in America is officially recognized as a state. Now this came about, how this came about makes interesting reading. Early in his administration, President Ronald Reagan invited the Vatican City, whose ruling head is the Pope, to open its first embassy in Washington, D.C. His Holiness responded positively, and the embassy of the Apostolic Nuncio of the Holy See opened officially on January 10, 1984. Up until that time, you see, we had broke off diplomatic relationships with the Vatican because there was so much proof that Rome was in on the assassination of President Lincoln. And John Surratt, who they later captured, they executed four people, but John Surratt, he escaped, and when they found him, guess where they found him? They found him in the Vatican. And even back in 1870 or 1880, they went over and got him and brought him back and tried him. Now, it was a hung jury. He got out of both trials. But we have to look back in history. You mean the American government had so much interest in this that they went all the way to Rome with detectives and captured Surratt and brought him back to the United States? And the reason I bring this up, this chapter too, is just the other day, I put this little pamphlet together 5 years ago in 2000. You'll see the cover. Now the cover is worth 1,000. The cover is worth 1,000 words. The picture that you see there is actually a picture out of the book Washington in the Lap of Rome in 1888. I should get a Nobel Peace Prize for this. The reason for the 2015 is it was September 23rd, 2015, that a Jesuit Pope came to speak at a joint session of Congress. He got about 30 standing ovations. The Capitol building is a basilica. It's a Capitolium. It's a house of worship. And he came back and spoke. A Jesuit. The first Jesuit university, just a minute, we're gonna have to put up with that phone. I don't know how to turn it off.
They'll probably get the idea pretty quick.
I don't know how to turn it off. Okay, but anyway, let's see if I can get my composure now. We're at a joint session of Congress in 23rd of September 2015, and we have a Jesuit. I mean, it should everybody now listen. Walt isn't, I'm not selling this book. There's no money in this, the facts that I'm giving us right now is not going to make me popular, but it's facts. You can't deny it. A fact is a fact. White is white. Black is black. And I just want to emphasize that a Jesuit came to speak to a joint session of Congress. And also, we have a Jesuit chaplain in the House of Representatives. I want to emphasize again, the first Jesuit university was 1789. And by the time of the American Civil War, there was 14 Jesuit universities, and Archbishop John Carroll was the first archbishop, and they've got the United States divided up in Oregon, we have two archbishops. They divided it up. They divided it up in by population, just like the House of Representatives. There's 395 archbishops, which is really the shadow government in America. But in other words, and understand it was that, and that now when we're talking about 2020, we have Antonio Fucci, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He has been an advisor to five presidents. Stop and think. That's how the Jesuits, that's how Rome controls civil power. I don't have a chance to even ask a question to the president. He is an advisor. He is the one that advised to shut this nation down. This is war. What happened with the pandemic is a war.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's when you come full circle, when you look at the actual, you know, final, like they used to say on the Enterprise, the final frontier, as it were, you know, what is the ultimate goal of Vatican? It is to establish world government. And it is the Catholic Church. You know, we know it has its own diplomatic corps of ambassadors. They're posted in industrialized nations all over the world. There are over 180 nations that have sent their own ambassadors to Vatican. And so no other church has commanded that kind of attention. And they're all working to come under this umbrella of Rome. And the church, you know, I mean, you have, by their own admission, that is their ultimate goal is to control not only the secular governments of the world, but also to, you know, have a person at the core that has not only the civil power, but has ecclesiastical power, okay? I mean, even the Catholic Charities or fronts, you know, and they get millions and millions of dollars from these Catholic Charities. And, you know, when you look at the end goal, you know, you have to ask yourself the question. Anybody that is familiar with the 13th chapter of Revelation, where it says you will not be able to buy or sell, save those that have the mark. There are so many Christian people, and I'll get in trouble for this, but there are so many so-called Christian people who deny that there is a mark of a beast, that it's a literal mark. And a lot of people are into preterism, saying this all occurred back in 70 AD. The question I have is, how close is the world to world government that would mandate the worship of the Pope as God on earth? I don't know. But the mark of the beast is already evident, you know, and all you have to do is look at Vicarius Filii Dei, which means the vicar of the Son of God, and the sum of the Roman numerals in the Pope's title equals exactly 666. You know, and so I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm saying that, you know, if we read that, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon, and he had power to give life in the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in his right hand or in his their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of the man, and his number is 666. Well, here's the question I have. It's just a question. I think the answer is obvious, but a lot of people disagree. But is the requirement, the universal requirement, that everybody wear a mask the prelude to the mark of the beast? Is a mandatory vaccination another prelude to the beast? I mean, if you can't buy or sell out in public unless you have a mask on, if you don't have a passport, now they call it immunity passport. If you don't have an immunity passport, not only are you not going to be able to travel internationally, you're not going to be able to travel domestically. And by the way, the next two steps are you're not going to be able to travel from state to state. And then eventually you're not going to be able to leave your house if you don't have an immunity passport, i.e. the vaccination. And we know what's in the vaccination. Baby body parts from aborted babies. So it's not just a physical, it's not just something physical. This is a spiritual thing. And so, you know, as we come down, we're at 6:45, we've got about 20 minutes left, a little under, about 19 minutes left. But, you know, we've seen in the Protestant Reformation, all of the Protestants talked about the woman riding the beast, and they named the Pope singularly, all of them, from Tyndale to Zwingli to Calvin to Luther, all of them named him very specifically as the Antichrist, against Christ. And yet now we have the ecumenical movement in the United States and Canada and all around the world that are, you know, I'll use another term that another fellow uses, slobbering on the slipper of the Pope. In other words, I hear True News and Rick Wiles even saying that the Roman Catholic Church is Christian and point back to the Jacobean Revolution, you know, and calling the Roman Catholic Church Christian. The Roman Catholic Church is the furthest thing from Christianity, and I agree with Walt when he says it's not Judeo-Christian, it's Judeo-Catholicism. Because Judaism and Catholicism are both based on works. They're not based upon unconditional election and grace. I'm going to flip it back over to Walt, but that's kind of my thoughts as we come down toward the end of the program here.
Well, and who interprets our justice system? The nine Supreme
Amen.
Courts, six are Catholic and the three are Jew. All works.
Wow.
So it is this country is not a Judeo-Christian country. It's a Judeo-Catholic country.
And it's really It's really important to point out what Walt just intimated. I don't want you to miss this. Because who, in finality, makes the judicial decisions? You know, we have numerous. You know, I was involved in the court system for 5 years, and it went all the way to the appeals court in the state of Missouri. But if it had gone on, it would have ended up in the Supreme Court of the United States. And so the most important rule of law is in all finality decided at the Supreme Court level, and like Walt says, the nine people that make those decisions in a consensus manner are three Jews and six Catholics. Judeo-Catholic. There is not one Protestant on the Supreme Court of the United States. Not one. And so that should tell us who's running this country. Go ahead, Walt.
Well, Larry, I think we got about 15 minutes. Is that right?
Well,
okay. You know, I want to say that Larry shared a link with me today by amazing. I think I mentioned it earlier, but is this torture? You know, is this all you have to do is a Google search on YouTube, and you'll come to is this torture? And I made the comment. What we see going on in the United States today. This is just a repeat of the cookie. Are you going to eat the cookie? Are you going to wear the mask?
That's right.
It's a
2020 Inquisition.
It's absolutely the same mechanics and the same power structure. It's the same power structure. And I made a comment, Jesuit deception. In other words, what is the pandemic? It's Jesuit deception. In parentheses, yeah. Ignatius of Loyola's spiritual exercise using the state of the art Jesuit ratio studiorum.
Want to validate that, go to the Vatican website last Sunday and look at what Pope Francis is advocating to all of the members of the Roman Catholic Church and the world, that we all need to obey the leaders of our governments, and we all need to be wearing a mask, we all need to be practicing social distancing. And by all means, whenever the vaccine becomes available, we all need to voluntarily partake of the vaccine. And by the way, if you don't, this is Larry now, just like now, they started out, Fauci said, no need to wear a mask. He has been so duplicitous. He's a Jesuit trained. He's Jesuit trained. And he says, then later on, he changed from we don't need to wear a mask, and everybody needs to be wearing a mask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so now what we're going to get is we're going to get this, the vaccination is purely voluntary. That's the way they're going to start out. But it's going to come to the point they're going to make this thing so big and so catastrophic and how it's killing so many people, that we've got to make this a World Health Organization mandate that all people are mandated to take the vaccination. Now, I don't know about everyone else, but by the grace of God, I don't want baby parts put into my veins. But anyway, go ahead.
The best hour you could listen to that I've about this pandemic is Amazing Polly. Is this torture?
Yeah.
And it's a Jesuit deception.
Yeah.
A deception guiding the hands of all major political and religious institutions, which are all covertly promoting war and violence at home and abroad. That just described what's going on in the world today. This is in 188 countries, this lie, this deception, this fraud. I mean, it's war. They have declared war on the world with this pandemic. I mean, this was planned for years in advance to get this to the right place where they sprung it.
It may appear to be an overstatement. But, people want to talk about, conspiracy and everything else. The Roman Catholic Church is Satan's religion because it's attack on God's word. The Roman Catholic Church is counterfeit religion. It's full of the doctrines of devils. From necromancy to... the veneration of Mary, vain repetition of prayers, immaculate conception, assumption of Mary's body and soul into heaven, graven images, and like Walt was saying, worshiping this cookie and wine as God. Hebrews is very clear. He entered once in the holy place and sat down, made a sacrifice, one sacrifice for sins. They're re-crucifying Christ all over again. What about purgatory? What about indulgences? What about papal infallibility? Okay, and now we've got two at the same time. False Christ, bishops of Rome, You know, Christ is not divided. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. And here we have Pope Francis sitting in the temple of God proclaiming that he is God. And everybody goes around and calls him Holy Father. And but he's the mystery of iniquity that works in the children of disobedience. You know, the Vatican curses God. They worship Satan. They are into child sacrifice. That, you know, Richard Bennett, before he died, a former priest, you know, was sharing with me, he said that there's literally, you know, 40% of all the priests are homosexuals. And then on top of that, you have the military arm of the Roman Catholic Church, the Society of Jesus. And they are, like Walt said, they are just running rampant in the United States. Not only in the college and universities, even in the high schools, there's all kind of Jesuit high schools.
50.
Yeah, and so that's really, you know, we are living amongst the Antichrist is here and now. It's not in the future. It's here. I mean, Pope Francis is Antichrist. Scripture says, if anyone come unto you preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. But yet the Council of Trent, in their own phraseology, says just the opposite. If anyone comes unto you saying that man does not have a free will, let him be accursed. And that's contrary to Scripture, because Scripture says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. I'm going to let Walt conclude this. We're at the 6:55. We've got about 8 minutes left. And so why don't you just kind of conclude and bring this to a conclusion? I really appreciate, Walt, you being with us. And we're going to be on once a week, God being in the matter, every Thursday at this time, 6 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock. Are you Pacific time, Walt?
Yeah, I'm Pacific. Yeah,
4 o'clock Pacific time and 6 o'clock Central. And then it'll take a few, you know, maybe an hour or so once we get the link from Walt to put it on all of our platforms. We plan on putting this on Sermon Audio, on blog.com, as well as we're gonna put it on Facebook and YouTube, on Tumblr, and probably one of the most received platforms that I've been on lately is BitChute, and then we'll also be on Reddit, and we'll be on Linacan as well. So it'll be on all 10 of our platforms, and we welcome you to just choose which platform you want to go on to keep up with us. I'm going to turn it back over to Walt.
Well, I'm the webmaster at Grand Design Exposed, all one word, .com. And I've had a statement up there that I can't tell you where I got. I see it. Professor L.T. Townsend, and I can't even tell you, just, you know. But this is a quote that I got from him. And when I read this, tell me, isn't this what we're facing right today in 2020? He says, we must now show that the Jesuits are the most deadly enemy of the United States and the world. 188 nations, remember, will ever have to face. This fact is virtually unknown among the people. Using the utmost secrecy to conceal their plans, the Jesuits, through their facade of religion, has for many decades been infiltrating the United States in all levels of government, and their agenda is to rule the world. As a result, the United States will soon lose its constitution and become a tyrannical, persecuting power. Do we see that happening today? This pandemic has opened the floodgates. And I'm in the state of Oregon, and on July 1st, they said that everybody needs a mask. I went to the store yesterday, and there was quite a few people in the store, but I was the only person without a mask. Nobody bothered me. I mean, I didn't go in to cause trouble, but nobody said a word to me. They were polite to me. and I went through the check stand, but I had a couple beady eyes looking out over their mask, looking at me, you know, little beady eyes, you know, I can't, you know. But in other words, this is a missionary adaptation. This is Roman Catholic mission adaptation that you'll be able to read in the Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy.
One other quick comment, just a caveat for all of our listeners. Be careful. Now, we strongly oppose the false teaching of Zionism, Walt and I. But be very cautious, like people like True News and people like Edward Henry and people like that they'll spend all their time coming against Zionists, but you never hear them coming out today. Now, they may have in the past, but I'm talking about right now. You don't hear them coming against Rome. They're not coming against Rome. So if you're listening to a program that all they talk about is the Jews and Zionism, and they're never bringing up the Jesuits or Rome, there's something wrong. They're trying to hide it. Just like that's the same thing that the preterists did, is that they everything was already over with, and so it was a way of not exposing Rome. And that's exactly what this secret rapture did, you know, in futurism. it did away with all the history, you know, all the way down through the history. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
And when Rick Wiles says that the Roman Catholic Church is Christian, he's denying the Reformation.
That's right. He's denying the Bible too. I mean,
yes.
He's
saying that the Reformers were wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it intimidates. It doesn't intimidate me, but I realize how deeply this lie has been put into the minds through false history.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so over the next couple of weeks, when we're talking, we're going to cover some of these chapters that's in this little pamphlet. But this pamphlet, you can download this at granddesignexposed.com. It's a little PDF file. I've fixed it, so I even designed a cover for it where you could have it printed. You could take it to a printing house and they could print it and bind it for you if you know. But
by the way, this is really one of the things I like about this little book. But it just fills a lot of the gaps in history, and it's 137 pages. So in two settings, you can cover the whole book in a couple hours, and then you can go back and review it. You know, and be sure you look at the back page on the Inquisition in America. That will load your book. We'll talk about that one later.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sign off here now. So we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Walt. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch.